this week. We're privileged to have Bill Rule with us to be sharing with us several lessons from God's Word. I've known this man my whole life, and most known for his work at Good Pasture Christian School. He was president of the school for 39 years, the year before there was a school. I was there raising funds and doing other things to get that school started, and appreciate his work in that regard. But he's also been preaching since 1957. Preached in Linden, Tennessee, also at Lishy Avenue in Nashville and at Riverwood. Many years teaching at Madison Church of Christ during a lot of the time that Ira North was there. Currently, he's a member of the Hendersonville Church of Christ, where he does auditorium class and helps them in their teaching that congregation. So we're privileged this week to have Bill Rule with us. I know you'll, like I do, will learn a lot from what he presents.
I'm really excited about being here today and the beginning of this brief gospel meeting. I want to thank James for the kind things that he said and for the invitation to be with you. I'll have a little bit more to say about him and Donnie and some of the other folks that I know in this congregation at a later time. I want to ask you, if you have a Bible with you, to open it to John chapter 14. This is a very familiar chapter. It's the one that begins, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." We all know that. So I want you to put your finger there, because we're going to be reading from John 14 and 15. And then I want you to turn back to near the end of the New Testament to 1 John chapter 3. I want you to hold both of those places so we can flip back and forth. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about the subject of prayer. I don't know if anybody told Donnie that we were going to do that, but his first song was about prayer this morning. And I think prayer is maybe the greatest commodity that Almighty God has given to those of us who are here. The very idea that you and I have the ear of the Creator of the universe on a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week basis, anytime, under any circumstance. The all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-present, the all-loving God promises us that He hears us when we pray, but He goes further than that. He even says, "I will give you what you ask." Let's begin in John 14. If you have your Bible open, I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. I'm going to ask you to follow along. If you don't have your Bible, just listen carefully. And let's notice there is a similar phrase in each of the passages. "Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Now listen particularly. "And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do." Now, you have to turn one page in my Bible till you get to chapter 15. I'm just going to read one verse, verse 7. I want you to listen to that same phrase again. "If you abide in me and in my word, whatever you ask, it will be done unto you." Alarming words. They're captivating words. Now turn back to 1 John chapter 3. And let me read beginning in verse 21. I'm going to read two verses. And listen for that phrase again. 21 and 22 of 1 John 3. "Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in him." Now, across the page in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, we find these words. "These things I have written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the boldness which we have toward him, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked." I've thought about how serious that is. Bible students understand that there are two very different kinds of promises made in Scripture. One of those kinds of promises are called unconditional promises. No matter what kind of life a person lives, if he's a believer, an unbeliever, one who obeys the gospel, one who does not obey the gospel, he still breathes the air that God creates. He still has the sunshine. He still has the rain, and so on and so forth. We also understand that there are promises that are made in Scripture that are conditional promises. If we're going to receive the blessings that are attached to those promises, God Almighty, through His Word, through His Son, through His apostles, has set aside certain conditions that we must keep. Now, the matter of answered prayer is one of those conditioned promises. And so I want us to notice very quickly in the brief time that we have together during Sunday school how God answers prayer, what kinds of prayers God answers, and how we can be absolutely sure that God answers our prayer. I understand that there are a lot of people, even Christians, sometimes wonder about, does God really answer prayer? I had a lady not too long ago say to me, you know, I've prayed for the same thing so many times, weeks, months, years, and it never has happened. And I've reached a point where I really wonder if God does hear and answer my prayer. Well, the Bible teaches several things that will help us understand that. First of all, in John 15, where we read a moment ago, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done to you, means that the word of God must fill the heart if we abide in him, if we're going to have our prayers answered. He's in so much emphasis placed at Pleasant View and everywhere else that the church faithfully meets on studying the Bible is because the word abiding in us is absolutely why we have Sunday school. That's why we have worship services and we have vacation Bible schools probably and we need to take advantage of that. That's why James continues to remind us that the word of God needs to be studied every day at home, and we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have of knowing the will of God. In essence, in John chapter 15, verse 7, here's what Jesus said. If you listen to me, I will listen to you. If you let my word abide in your heart, then I'm going to answer your prayer. The second thing I want to bring to your attention is found back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, where we read just a few moments, where he says, and whatsoever you ask, you receive of him, because you keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So a condition of answered prayer is that we are obedient. That's where some people say, well, now that's the key. I understand now why my prayers are not answered, because I don't always do what God expects perfection, and I'm not perfect. Well, God doesn't expect perfection. We all understand that. God understands we're weak people. We're frail people. We do things we shouldn't do. We don't do things we should do. Let me give you a perfect example. My wife and I are blessed with 7 grandchildren. And they're pretty much grown now. My youngest one will be a senior at Good Pasture this year. But back when they were little, they used to spend the night with us a lot, and we used to have the best time. We in our den, we had this big toy box. And it had girl toys and boys' toys and toys and all that sort of thing. And we would go up in the den, and we would just play, and we'd get everything out. And I remember one night when one of my grandsons was there. He was 5 years old, I'm guessing, 4, I don't know. And we had been playing up there for a while, and Grandmama came to the door, and she said, you all need to put the toys up now, because I have your snack about ready, and it's about time to go to bed. So I said to him, if you'll put the toys in the box, I'll go help Grandmama, and then we'll go get our ice cream and probably some cookies. Well, in a few minutes, he appeared in the kitchen, and I said, did you put your toys in the box? Yes, sir. I said, well, that's great. So we sat down, and we had. Then we went up and got our pajamas on, and we had our little devotional. I went down. I'd left the light on in the den, and so I go in the den, and I saw under a chair a toy. And I also saw over here by a table another toy. There were probably 3 or 4 things. I went over. Now, I could have gotten extremely. I could have gone and jerked him out of bed and said, you told me you picked up the toys and you didn't get up here and go get them. I didn't do that. You know I. As a matter of fact, I thought he'd done a really good job for 3 or 4 year olds. Not everything's done, but he'd made a pretty good attempt. I tell you that story simply because that's the way God looks at us. He wants us to make a really good attempt to do his will. We won't be perfect. He knows that. No matter how much we grow spiritually, we're always going to be. But he says, if you want me to answer your prayers, I promise you I will if you are obedient, if you do my will. Quickly, because of time, the third characteristic of answered prayer is faith. You know, there are two characteristics that have to do with our prayers being answered that outstand all the rest of them. The first is faith, that we believe in God, that we believe that his Son came into this world, that he lived, he died, he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven. That's the first one. And the second one is that we forgive other people who wrong. Those are the two main characteristics. If I hold bitterness in my heart toward other people, hatred, If I have resentment, it kills my prayer life. The Bible says that. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, these are the words. You husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I'm convinced that one of the reasons that if you're going to serve as an elder of the church, you've got to be a good husband and a good father, is because one of the duties of elders is to pray for the church. And if anything is going to hinder that, then you should not serve. If you're not giving, if you're not faithful, if you're not a believer, if you're not good to your wife, then you're not going to be able to serve in the capacity that the Lord wants you to serve. Back in the little book of James, in little chapter 1, and beginning in verse 5, we read these words. Just listen carefully. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything. Now, what does it mean to pray in faith? I want you to pay very careful attention for just a moment. When I pray in faith, it is not that I believe that God could answer my prayer. That's not faith. That's a fact. God can do anything he wants to do that is within his will. And therefore, praying, believing that God could, is not faith. It is not believing that I hope God is going to do, he might do it. It's not faith. Suppose I even say, well, I'm praying, I hope God will want to do what I ask him to. That's desire, not faith. Praying in faith means that God is going to answer me, that he will do it. The Bible also teaches us that we are to pray through our Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why our prayer just a moment ago ended in Jesus, or in some capacity we mentioned the fact that we are approaching the Father through our advocate Jesus. How important is it to pray in Jesus' name? I'll give you an example. Let's suppose this week while I'm here in this meeting, I noticed I passed a bank right up here. I don't remember what bank it was, but I passed one on the way here. Let's suppose I walked in that bank, and my name is Bill Rule, and I'm holding a meeting down here at Pleasant View Church of Christ, and I wanted to draw out some money. The lady looks at me, never seen me before. She said, Bill Rule? I said, yes, sir. Do you have an account in this bank? No, ma'am, but I'd just like to have a couple $100. Do you not understand that if you don't have an account, Mr. Rule, that you can't withdraw from it unless you not only have an account, but that you have enough money in the account? And let's suppose that one of you were in there and you walked over and said, Bill Rule may be a little crazy, but he is my friend, and I do have an account in this bank. I do have a couple of $100, and so I'll give you this check. Well, they'd hand me the money. That's it. In the account of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ has far more on deposit than you and I will ever need. And he is pictured as our advocate with the Father. He is pictured as the one through whom we pray. And as the result of that, he takes our prayer and turns to the Father and says, he's ours. He belongs to me. I want you to answer his prayer. It's as simple as that. It is extremely important that I understand that if I'm going to withdraw anything, I don't have anything on deposit. God doesn't owe me anything. I owe him everything. Life and all of the blessings, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or variableness. Now, it's important for us to understand that God answers prayer for those who believe, for those who forgive, for those whose the Word of God abides in, and those who approach Him through Jesus. Faith stands at the top of the list. Here's a story I heard that illustrates this point very quickly. Sunday school teacher had a group of little children in her room. Said, we're going to write a missionary that we support a letter. One, each one of you gave them all a piece of paper. And I want you to tell him we're glad he's our missionary. I want you to tell him we're praying for him. We know he's working in a difficult place. They were all working on it. You've seen write letters. It's hilarious. It's fun to watch. Somewhere along in the middle of the process, she said, "Now, boys and girls, I want you to understand that Brother Jones, or whatever his name was, is a very busy man. He'll read all of our letters, but Don't expect for him to write you back." So after class, she gathered up all the letters, put them in a big envelope, mailed them to him. Missionary got them one evening. He had a few minutes. He sat down, opened the envelope. He was reading the letters. He came across one from a little girl, and here's what it said. "Dear Brother So-and-so, we are so glad you're our missionary. We pray for you every day, but we don't expect an answer." Now, truthfully, that illustrates what I'm really trying to say. So, I wonder how many times that's happened to you. Now, don't answer, just think about it. How many times have you prayed, not because you believe God could answer, or because He might want to answer, or that He might answer, but that He will answer? Quickly, important for us to understand how God answers. I want you to make a mental note, if you don't make a written note, of these absolute necessary understandings. God Almighty answers prayer in His own time frame, not in my time frame. You know, we're pretty much bound by time. You know, I'm looking at that clock, and I want to be through in 12 minutes, and I've got a lot to cover, and I understand it's got to happen right quick. But God's not in that schedule. You know, He's not running out of days, much less minutes. He's not running out of weeks. He's not running out of months. He's not running out of centuries. He always has been. He answers prayer in His own time frame. He made a promise to Abraham, and He kept it 400 years later. He listened to the prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth for a son, and way years later, after they were way too old to have a son, the angel Gabriel appeared to him one day in the temple and said, "You're going to have a son." And Zacharias doesn't believe that. I mean, he said, I'm too old. And he's smart enough not to say my wife's too old. He said she is well stricken in years. He didn't say she was too old. At any rate, he just couldn't understand it. You remember Hannah in the Old Testament, year after year after year. She went and she prayed, "God, please give me a son." It didn't happen to the point that she had almost lost hope. And then one day God says, "You're going to have one." The time frame of God and the time frame of man are so different that we have difficulty understanding. And sometimes we don't really like it. But if John the Baptist had been born 9 months after Zechariah and Elizabeth had asked for a son, he might have been a fine young Hebrew boy, but he wouldn't have been John the Baptist, because he would have come at the wrong time to be the forerunner of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? He couldn't have been the man that God wanted him to be, because he had to come at the right time. And we could go on and on and on giving examples. I remember when I was preaching in London, I decided that it was time for me to go to bigger and better things, that I was ready to go to a bigger church. And so I drove to Nashville and went to the Gospel Advocate and sat down with Brother Goodpasture, and I said, Brother Goodpasture, I'd like to move to a bigger church. I want you to help me find a larger church. Now, most of you probably never knew him. Some of you may have. But at any rate, he was sitting there reading a book like this. He didn't even look in my direction when I made this statement. He just keeps looking. I sat there probably at least, seemed like a minute before he ever opened his word. He said, Bill, I have some advice for you. He said, why don't you go back down to Linden and do a good job and let jobs look for you instead of you looking for jobs? As a matter of fact, I sort of thought it's kind of rude, but I will tell you, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. You see, many things happened because my prayer was answered in God's time frame. But not only does he answer in his own time frame, but he answers in his own way and in his own power. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, there's the story of Lazarus dying, you remember, and Jesus coming several days later, and he'd been buried, and Jesus raised him from the dead. Mary and Martha particularly was upset because Jesus hadn't gotten there on time. And she fussed at him a little bit. She said, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus ignored that. Where is he buried? Well, of course, he knew where he's buried. They go down to the tomb, and Jesus raised him from the dead. Now, let me ask you a question. Which brought the most glory to God? Healing Lazarus from whatever his illness was, or raising him from the dead after he'd been in the grave for several days? See, God answers prayers in his own time frame, for his own purposes, in his own way. He answers prayers, my prayers, your prayers, so it will help us to grow spiritually. It's very true back in the Old Testament, in the story of Joseph, one of my favorite Old Testament stories, that, you know, Joseph went through some horrible, horrible experiences. His brothers threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery, and then the wife of Potiphar lied about him and threw him in jail, and then he did some favors for the butler and the baker, and they forgot about him, and he stayed in jail. We could just go on and on and on. Then just at the right time, Pharaoh had a dream. His wise men were unable to interpret the dream. And then it came to the mind of his servant, oh, there's a guy down there in jail, and he can foretell dreams. He did mine. If God had answered that prayer earlier, it would not have accomplished. And so instead of us getting upset because we've been praying for something a long time, we need to remember God in his own time, in his own way, for his own glory, for our good, answers our prayers. We need to get on our knees and regularly pray, God, this is what I'm asking, but I want your will. I'm willing to accept that this may not be the best thing. Remember the story of the man who had this unexpected guest at midnight, and he's already in bed, he's already asleep. The guy comes, knocks on the door, and he said, go away, I'm in bed, I'm asleep. The man won't go away, keeps on knocking. And the reason he kept on knocking was because he had this friend, he didn't have any food, and he needed to feed him. So finally the guy gets up and opens the door and gives him the food. That's why God teaches us, don't give up. If we pray and we don't get an immediate answer, we continue to pray, but we continue to do what the Bible says. We wait on God. Remember that day when Jesus praying, just the apostles came up to him, and they stood there silently, and after he quit praying, they said, would you teach us to pray? I've thought about this a lot, especially in preparation for coming up here this morning. Do you know, I don't know of one single place in Scripture where we read, Lord, would you teach us to teach? Nobody ever did that. I don't know of one place in Scripture where he said, would you teach us to preach? Although Jesus preached and Jesus taught, and no one ever taught like this man. It was clear that there was nothing like that anywhere. I think the reason for that is they recognized the secret to the life of Jesus was his constant connection with God through prayer. They recognized that because he was in constant communication to the Father. There were times when he would get away from everybody. He might go up on a mountain. He might go out away into the wilderness, and he would pray. It's so important for you and for me to take advantage, maybe the greatest commodity that God, and to understand. God Almighty prays to those who let the Word, He prays to those for us to understand that He mighty and all-powerful and all-wise. He answers the prayers of those who pray through their Savior, through the Son of God, who have been obedient to the gospel, who have become His children. Pray, let His prayers be answered at exactly the right time. Don't you find it interesting that the Bible specifically says that just at the right time, God sent His Son? What was just the right time? Well, it was a time when there was a government that ruled the Romans, and everybody pretty much spoke the same language. The gospel could spread more easily. Exactly at the everything God does, exactly the right way, right time. I hope that you'll spend some time, maybe today, sometime this week, certainly soon, just thinking about praying. I hope you begin every day with prayer. But I hope you don't just pray when you sit down to eat. I hope it's an attitude that you constantly stay in God through prayer and let Him answer His own time. I thank you so much for being kind, and it went by very quickly and didn't get to cover all the things that we'd like to, but you are a very, very kind class.